I'm just gonna record you guys.
Stress you out. My sweater's on backwards and inside out, and you say, how appropriate. Welcome to Dollhouse.
Welcome. Do we stress you out?
Is your sweater on backwards and inside out? We love that for you.
How appropriate.
Thank you. I made it myself.
Welcome. We're in a really Lena Dunham Williamsburg 2012 vibe.
We literally just like had a real moment of Lena Dunham praise this evening, and yeah. I don't want it to end. And I know that we just played Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, that bitch. And now we're like, Lena Dunham. Me, my voice. So did Alanis, but.
But if they wanted to both come to dinner, I would cook.
Oh, that would be wild.
Or pay for it.
No, I would want to have them separately because I want to talk in a certain tone and at a certain speed that Lena could really vibe with, and then I want to really slow it down for Alanis because she's Canadian. And
like, that's so thoughtful.
Yeah.
That is the only way to speak to them because like Lena would like understand when we are manic.
Yeah.
And then I think Alanis would celebrate when we were morose.
Yeah. Alanis would celebrate the mania, but she would definitely make you feel like you should slow down. And I would just be like, oh no. Like I would just like want to crawl into her
she's
lap.
Like very
and
be like, 90s, very down. wait.
She's like Canadian and it's like a lot of like deep therapy and like was like engaged to Ryan Reynolds. It's a lot there.
Wait, but the being engaged, okay. Ryan
married,
Reynolds as
married.
A person.
I think they got married.
Right. Being with Alanis Morissette and then Blake Lively right after.
I know.
Nothing in the world will make less sense. Nothing.
Nothing in the world would
like,
fuck me up
more as a
woman.
War between countries makes more sense than marrying Alanis Morissette and then Blake Lively.
I kind of like respect that about Ryan though, because I get that because I'm someone who doesn't have a type and anyone looking at my dating history is like, what? Like there's no clear thread that you could find. Other than, like, being kind of mean to me.
The only answer is that, like, maybe Blake is deep.
She definitely is deep. She is.
But, like, Alanis deep?
No way. No one's Alanis deep.
No.
Alanis is a pure artist. Yeah. She's a pure artist.
Yeah.
She's, like,
doesn't
lives
shave her armpits.
And breathes her art. And she was a pure artist from doesn't shave her armpits.
I'm
yes.
sorry. That's, like, not a
But that doesn't
not
make
only,
you an artist. That makes you, like, French. But... I mean, she like lives and breathes her art so much so that it came out of her like when she was 18 years old. Like Jagged Little Pill, I think she was like 19 or 20.
No way.
Yeah, dude, she was.
Did she have good parents then? Because I don't think my parents would have supported me doing that.
Mine probably would have. My parents have gotten less supportive of as I've gotten older. No, I'm kidding.
I don't like, have parents.
No, like, I think my parents really would have. But luckily I did not get success. I remember sitting the summer that I got home from college, sitting at the dinner table with my parents and like playing some Maggie Rogers song and being like, I truly thought this in my soul. I was like, you know, I could be her. And my mom was like, no, not my mom. My mom was like,
Yeah.
But my dad was like, no, you couldn't. And I was like, how? Fucking dare you. Yes, I could.
But Alanis' parents were like, of course, Jagged Little Pill. Like, of course.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have to have, like, some, like, I don't know, to let your daughter go on tour with a bunch of men, because her band was all male.
Yeah.
And she was just, like, on a tour bus with a bunch of dudes touring the country and, like, probably beyond the country. Like an international tour when she
beyond
was.
Beyond the country, also known as international.
Known as international travel. But, like, they have to have something tweaked.
What I want everyone to call international travel beyond the country. That's
beyond
really cute.
That would be so much sexier than international travel.
No, that's so much beyond the country. It's, like, very poetic. It's, like.
Thank you. I am a poet by trade.
By soul. You were born a poet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I was a poetry major, which they say is useless. I'll tell you right now, you could have a podcast and a job teaching writing.
And no, people don't really understand the gravity of
a poetry major
of your life. And like the fact that you you majored in poetry in fucking Charleston.
Yeah. And the most gothic southern city.
Right.
Yeah, survive. I remember my poetry teacher saying to us, I adored her and I would skip class, go to her office hours. I remember her saying to our entire class one night, she was like, how, and by the way, my class was not cool. Like the poetry majors, it was not cool. We were in Charleston. Everyone was majoring in like communications because like it was a party school.
Yeah.
Or they were majoring in like econ or something. And like I was a poetry major and my class was like an old, old man who was in his 60s named Mike. Nice man. Very nice man. Used the word postcoital cigarette. I remember he wrote, love a postcoital cigarette on one of my poems. And I was like, Mike.
You were like, my vagina just dried up. The Sahara.
I cannot. The fact that you just said that and your breath smells like rotten eggs. But anyway, this was my poetry class. It was like a man named Mike and like a couple of cool people, to be fair. But I didn't see them as cool at the time. Like it was definitely the weirdos. And I was friends with like cool hipster hippie kids mm-hmm. and like not frat boys or anything, but like cool hipster hippie kids that were like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like what were their fucking majors? Like, I don't know. They were all over the place, but no
like
one
business
was doing
marketing.
They were doing business marketing. They were doing like one of my friends was pretty mad because he was smart and like wanted to have a solid, like stable career.
God
you know,
bless. What's that like?
And felt yeah. a calling. They all had like some sort of a explanation for their majors and me I was just like I like poetry like it's like but anyway my class was not cool anyway I was sitting in it one night but I never missed a fucking class and I skipped every class in college at least once
oh, yeah.
And I remember she looked at us in the eyes all of us around the circle because we had to move our desk so it would be a circle and she was like you guys are so lucky. You get to write poetry in Charleston. It's the most southern gothic city there is. And I was
it's
like,
true. It's really
she
true.
Was like the only one that survived the Civil War. Like,
whoa.
Because of a love story.
Really?
That's like the wives' tale about it is that it survived the Civil War because someone was in love with someone. That one of the like commanders of the Yankees or whatever the what is it the Union
don't know
the Confederacy and the Union I think was in love with a woman in Charleston and so they never even touched it
I
they
feel
never
like,
touched it
Katie
untouched.
I feel like your past life was that woman no really
oh
no,
my god
really you were the one you have enough ability to make someone forget that they have guns. You make me forget that I'm violent.
I would like to believe that deeply in my soul.
I think that a lot of people could say that you make them forget that they're violent.
Oh my God, you're right. Wink, wink.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Blessed.
Or feel really insecure that they are violent and then they have to be around me and I'm just like, I'm not gonna be. What now? What will you do next? Oh, Carmen.
My cat just
Carmen's
fell.
Like, I'm not afraid of you.
No, my cat dies. My cat would rather live with you than me.
No, that's not true. I don't take care of living things very well.
That's true. I have like a lot of living plants.
Yeah, you really fucking do. I kill everything.
I have to get two more. Anyways.
What's on the docket for this evening?
We're going to do like a minute of Lena Dunham. We really want to thank her. I don't know if it's the premiere of her new movie. I don't know if it's just
we got to see it together, by the way.
I haven't seen
it yet. Oh, let's go on Sunday.
I'll probably be free.
It would be very fitting if you went the weekend you're recovering from female surgery.
I'm getting the bottom part of my cervix removed on Friday because
would love that.
I have HPV 16-18.
Sorry,
I've been crying all day.
But saying it like with the
like an astronaut.
The like sterile
spaceship
description of it. Lena would love that.
So I just want to let everyone know, like, Katie's not picking me up from the hospital because she has to work. And
I do have a job. Yeah.
I'm I am just so fucking afraid because I'll be under anesthesia, and I'm infamously known for saying crazy shit under anesthesia.
Wait, tell me the stories.
Okay. Well, when I had sinus surgery like 10 years ago from when I was doing too much
when
cocaine.
When you got your nose job?
Yeah.
She never got a nose
job. It wasn't a nose job. They sucked.
She has a perfect little Italian nose. Italian-Irish nose. The Italian noses are big. You got an Irish nose. Lucky you. So did I.
No, bless. Like, God bless my
God
nose.
God fucking bless. But, we did not get Roman noses.
The thing about it being so tiny and perfect is that, like, I couldn't handle all the cocaine I was doing. So I had to get it vacuumed out and cauterized. And by the way, people don't know what cauterize is. It's when they burn your fucking skin to make the holes of your nose bigger.
Yo, dude, they did that to my lip when my dog bit me. They cauterized it.
Oh, that's hot. Yeah. So when I was under anesthesia for my sinus surgery, my nurse was my friend's mom, Evan's mom. And I had sold Evan's mom's Adderall a few weeks before. And like... I went to their house and he said, like, my mom doesn't want to come downstairs. She doesn't want to, like, see anyone face to face. And I didn't understand it. And, like, yeah. She ended up coming downstairs anyways. And, like, all my friends had fucked Evan. I'd fucked Evan. He had, like, a huge dick. He's so nice. Like, all-American boy, lacrosse captain,
we
all that it. Shit. Yeah,
of course
we all
his name's
know.
Evan.
Yeah. And so she ended up being my nurse. And so when I got out of anesthesia, and I'm like coming out of it with my mom in the room, and like the doctor was like, you know, you said some really wild things while you were under anesthesia. And I was like what? And he was like, well, you said you had the best mom in the whole world. And I looked at my mom and I go, wow, I must have been really
fucked
up.
That is wild.
And my mom's laughing too. I love my mom, but like, we're not perfect. And but like, I know that's not what he meant. He probably meant that I was like, your son has a huge dick and I sold you Adderall. And they probably were like, oh, this girl's telling a tall tale. I don't tell tall tales. I tell the truth.
You tell the truth, which can sometimes sound to other people like a tall tale.
Correct.
People who are not in touch with the universe.
Right.
My best friend from high school, who shall remain nameless for the purposes of what I'm about to say, said the craziest shit to her mom when she was coming out of her wisdom teeth surgery. They were like, you have to make sure that like you, it's something like the things that they were going to prescribe her, like the painkillers would like cancel out her birth control or something. So like, don't let people come inside you. Don't let your boyfriend come inside you. And she goes, she just like said, oh God, I wish that her mom had gotten a video of this, but it doesn't even matter. Cause her
I'm
mom told
so
us.
Scared. I want to keep my phone like under my back, like recording, but I also like would only let you, I would not want to listen to it. I'd be like, Katie, please listen to what the fuck I said.
Cause it is really funny.
It's funny, but also terrifying because like, I really, in my peak Brie moments, I just think I'm like meant to just keep fucking talking. And like, truly no one's meant to do that.
Yeah, like the times that I'm really wasted and like recently when I was really wasted and you told me that some shit that I said, I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's true. But I wouldn't want to say it. I like have a lot of tact.
Yes, in real life.
Yeah. I
sober,
really
without maker's mark on the beach. You're very tactful.
I have like a lot of tact. So when I don't have...
Right.
When I have the maker's mark, yeah, it really does go out the window. But I don't, you know what, to be honest with you, I think you as a person would say worse shit sober than you would fucked up.
You might think that, but we don't know.
I think I know that. I really do. I think you're probably going to be like, say some wholesome shit that's going to be nice.
That's really the kindest thing ever.
Because my sister has a Sagittarius moon, and like when she was coming out of anesthesia, when she got her wisdom teeth out, all she asked for was David, who's now her husband.
Okay, if a Sag moon cannot say crazy shit, then a Scorpio moon.
Because they're always saying crazy shit.
I hope that my Scorpio moon continues to be a vault even when under anesthesia. That's all I can ask for.
Yeah, but like there's I understand the fear, but I mean, I really understand the fear because like, oh my God, Carmen is really...
She's high. Continue.
I understand the fear because I feel like I'm keeping a lot inside at all times.
You are. You are. I've read your personality portrait on astro.com, and you are. And I love that.
I'm not safe in my own brain, to be honest with you.
You're not.
But we were supposed to be giving Lena love.
Oh, yeah. I think she would love that, actually, all that truth. I just want to say, like, my Katie and I are creating a vision board for, like, what we want to manifest in the future. And Lena Dunham, the cast of Girls, they're on it.
Yeah. And it changed my life seeing that show.
I would not have moved to New York City if it wasn't for that show.
Beautifully put. I would not
have been the woman I was watching that show in Rochester.
Yeah. I was watching it in Charleston. And no, yeah, only in Charleston.
Yeah. Yeah, because you were in college.
It started and finished when I was in Charleston.
Yeah. I was, yep. Well, it finished when I was in the city, but, and I had to like figure out a way to watch it. But, anyways,
what's your favorite watching Girls memory?
LaTanya, my friend LaTanya and I, yes. She had HBO and she's a nurse. So she worked crazy hours. And I would just go over there whenever she was out of work and we would smoke a blunt and watch Girls on her enormous TV.
Yes.
And it just fed me. And it was like fed a reliable you. Moment of knowing you'll be with your, like, I would walk over her apartment. Like in Rochester, it's not like New York. You don't like walk everywhere. It's only certain. Yeah. Neighborhoods you can walk around.
Uh-huh.
And we were in a really special neighborhood where we lived near each other, and I would walk to her apartment. I'd watch Girls, and watching Girls with anyone besides LaTanya like just wasn't the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd watch it together, and I just felt like anytime I'm with LaTanya I can feel like my highest self. But like, and I knew I was supposed to move to New York in those moments. And like watching Jemima Kirk be Jessa, I was like, I think that's me.
Yeah, I have such a specific memory of like watching an episode from, it must have been 2016. It was. So it was the final, I guess it was the second to last season or the last season.
Yeah.
And my like special Girls person is my friend Cortland. And Ooh. Her name is Cortland Jones. I mean, she's going to be so honored that I'm saying her full name on the pod that I'm not even worried about it. She is the most beautiful name, Cortland okay. Jones. It's yeah, like it a, it's like the name of a Southern. Song.
Yeah.
But she's not Southern. She's from out west. She's from Idaho, Sun
okay,
Valley.
Okay.
So she's like a Western angel. And I have this memory of watching. I have to ask her. She's a Gemini, so she would definitely know the specific episode and be like very disappointed that I don't. But we have this memory of this one day that I was watching this episode with her from the final season, and we got so fucking manic from that episode that we were like, and again, a beautiful big screen TV, and she had the best house of any of our friends.
Right.
Like it was the house, it was called the Bogard Brothel. It was like the house on Bogard Street. It was all the hottest, coolest girls lived there, and like she was one of them. And we were watching it, and it was still light out, but it was like one of those college days where it's like you can do whatever you want. Like we were seniors and we just weren't going to class. It was spring in the South. I mean, the best. And we were like, holy fucking shit. Like, did that just happen? It was a Jemima episode. Like, it was a Jessa moment. And we were like, we have to pause it. And before we finish, we have to go across the street to this bar called Cuddy's, which was like this hole in the wall bar.
Girls to go
we
drink.
Paused it. We went and we got.
Was it when she was dating Adam?
Yes, dude. Yes. That's
was
why we had to pause
it. When Lena brings her the gift while they're
fighting.
Oh,
no, it wasn't that, but it was –
after
that's
an
the
AA
final,
meeting. I mean, there's
that's
so
not
many
– the final.
But, Jessa and Adam was like, honestly, to anyone without a brain, it was unreal. But to me, it was the most realistic part of the whole show.
It was the only natural
– You definitely loved that part.
I fucking loved that part. The second that they were sharing a cigarette at Marnie's wedding, I said
– Stop.
It's on.
Oh, my –
I out loud said, it's on.
Wait, for so many reasons.
She has her rollers
in. For so many reasons, that episode in our life currently is insane.
Is insane. Is in beyond insane.
Yeah.
And they're both fucking sober. And they're just like, I just want a minute of freedom from my sobriety. So they're smoking a cigarette together. And they're like, what is... And then she has the rollers in and that amazing dress. And she's looking incredible.
Incredible.
And he's looking so tall.
So tall.
And they make out. It just ruined my – it ruined and made my entire life.
Ruined and made. That's the only way
but
to
But I just want
it.
To say that Cortland and I left. This is very important and girly and cute, and you'll love it. We left to go to Cuddy's, which is like a doll. It's not you a Dolly's.
You probably left after they did Marnie's makeup with the lip liner, and it was
that's
bad.
What I think it was. I think and it was you, the wedding.
And we all had to stop watching
and
for
we,
a minute.
And we went and we got pineapple upside down shots, which that's were like, not, oh, they were, you would love them. They're like would. So fruity. They're really not for me because they don't taste like alcohol, but they're like so sweet. And we just got these pineapple upside down shots and we're like, it was a full moon. And I remember us like covering ourselves in crystals when we got home and like taking a lot of Adderall and being like, it's a full moon. We're covered in crystals. We're so high. And we just took the pineapple upside down shots. And now we're going to finish the episode. Yeah, it was really good.
I love that.
Yeah. Anyway, Lena, we love you.
Lena, we love you. We appreciate you.
You're a genius. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, Elon Musk tweeted, to be clear, I support the left half of the Republican Party and the right half of the Democratic Party.
I love that so much.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
And then he replied to his own tweet and said, also, I'm buying Manchester United. You're welcome. And then somebody, oh, yo, this is the best part. Drita DeVanzo comments.
Who's that?
From Mob Wives. Did you not watch Mob Wives?
No, but.
Are you dumb?
I'm not dumb.
Oh, my God.
I was busy.
Okay. Drita DeVanzo replies, so basically, you support the Common Sense Party. That's the party I roll with, too. LOL. Hashtag Common Sense Party. And you know Drita DeVanzo is
oh, her she's the younger one, right?
On Mob Wives. Yes. She looks like yes. Drea De Mateo. Like, she looks yeah. like Adriana Lacerva. And she's like, her line is like something like, I'll cut your balls off. I'm Drita DeVanzo. I'll cut your balls off. Yeah, so I love that she's – that's where we stand, Teal.
That's where we stand. Wait, today you texted me something really funny. You said, I want to be a registered non-voter. Wait, yeah. I want to say that again without laughing.
Well, Bree texted me and said
– I said, I feel a lot better today because I, like, hadn't been sleeping normally the last 2 days as a psycho does. And I texted Katie, go, I'm alive today. And she's like, congratulations. And I said, a sinner, a saint, a registered voter – and then Katie goes, I want to be a registered non-voter.
I think we should have some sort
of deepest shit you've ever said.
Certification for that. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I had a card to carry around saying that, I'd feel better about it. When I don't carry a card around saying that, I feel, you just told me to drink more. Okay. When I don't carry a card around saying that, I just feel like too laissez-faire and like I'm like, I don't care what happens. When I do care what happens, I just don't agree with the people who are making things happening right now. Making things happen right now. Oy vey. Yeah.
It's almost like last week Trump wasn't raided at Mar-a-Lago by the FBI.
Yeah.
It's, a week ago, that's what we were talking about.
I got into like a heated thing where we were agreeing with each other with my cousin about that. And like he and I were just totally on the same wavelength. And he was like, welcome to the questioning side of things. I was like, thank you. It feels good to be here. And my aunt was also in the conversation, but we forgot. And she was just standing there looking at us with her jaw dropped because she's like, you know, very old school liberal. And like,
because the people who just think, well, if the FBI did something, it must mean something. Yes, else. It's like, that's not what it means.
Exactly. I was like, I'm in the questioning phase.
The FBI is like, if you're watching the ballet, like they're like the part of the ballet that gets very dramatic, but they're still actors.
That's right. Good
metaphor.
Well, thank simile, because you said like.
Ooh, yeah, like or as.
Like or as. It's a simile.
I was a poetry major. No, I wasn't. I was a communications major.
Oh, you were. You with were the, one of those comm majors.
Yeah, with a minor in fine arts.
That's fine. You actually utilized it.
I didn't need to go to college at all. Trust me.
I did because of the poetry factor.
I went to the most Catholic college on earth.
Wait, really?
Do you not know that about me?
No.
I went to this college called Misericordia, which means mercy of the heart.
And yet they didn't teach you what original sin is.
I
ignored it.
Was busy in my head with other things.
Wait, say it. The name of it?
Misericordia.
No, that's the name.
Of my college.
Oh, my.
Yeah, no. And it was originally a nun convent that turned into a college after a massive flood. And they, like, turned it into a university.
Wow, a lot of ghosts.
And then there was like no, it was only women until like the 90s and they allowed men in. And then they started a lacrosse team.
Wait. It started as a women's college?
Yeah.
Oh, that's profound.
Yeah, no, if everyone on earth if everyone that followed me understood where I went to college, yeah, they would understand me a lot better.
Did you have rules about like having guys in your dorm?
1,000%.
No way. Like Providence had that. Like all these like very provincial Catholic schools that my friends went to had those. Oy vey.
It was very strict. We couldn't.
I never had a single rule.
My boyfriend in college got kicked off campus for getting caught smoking weed in his dorm while playing Guitar Hero. I was out of town visiting my boyfriend who I was cheating on him with the boy that got kicked out of. It's a long story.
Of course.
But why wouldn't I?
I mean, I like literally they encouraged smoking weed at my school. It was like
orientation.
Yeah, literally. Like I looked my RA in the eye on my final night of having an RA because you move off campus after freshman year in Charleston.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, immediately. You
because
move
you're
off.
Cooler because it's like you have to.
No, they don't have housing for people past freshmen.
Oh, see, they had housing for like the whole 4 years, but after.
By the way, I have to say that's very like privileged and annoying that I'm saying that because Charleston is like an expensive city.
Yeah.
So it's like if you can afford to go, like it's not an expensive school because it's a public Southern college. Oh. So like my sister's
as a private school.
Yeah, my sister's school was like. My sister went to BC. It was like $60,000-$70,000 a year. Yeah. Mine was like 30, but I had to live off campus right away. And my rent was like New York rent right away, which I didn't pay. Okay, well, so it's like that's very annoying to say. And I'm sure a lot of people who went to College of Charleston on scholarships would be like, I got the housing. Like I'm sure you can get housing if you have to, but like we didn't. But the last night that I had an RA, I looked her in the eye. She knocked at my door at like 2 a.m.
My RA hated me.
Because, right, of course. Knocked on my door at 2 a.m. because we were blasting like Lil Boozy or something, some Southern rapper. And my friend's brother was in town who we all thought was very hot. And, of course, he ended up in our room, me and Madeline's room at the end of the night. And we were like partying with him. I had a Bud Light in my fucking hand, Bud Light Tall Boy in my hand from the corner store. My RA knocks on the door and goes, she's just standing there looking at me. And I looked at her holding the beer and shut the door right in her face.
No, you didn't.
I shut it right in her face.
Wait, did you and Madeline meet because you were like randomly matched?
No. Me and Madeline.
I'm sorry. Madeline, please don't.
Me and Madeline. No, it's okay. She loves when people call. One time a boy she hooked up with called her Madison. And she like every time she saw him was like, it's me, Madison. She's like a Leo moon. She doesn't give a shit.
Okay.
So Mads and I have known each other since we were two. She was my cousin Molly's best friend.
No.
Yeah, growing up.
Wait, offline we'll talk about this.
Yeah, sure. Because
no one's going to give a fuck.
Yeah, we requested each other as roommates. Molly Donovan was like, I think Madeline Barry is going to College of Charleston. You should.
I requested my freshman year roommate.
You did?
For only superficial reason. Her husband the other day, a month ago, sent me Hunter Biden's laptop on a... on a flash drive in a Como de Garcons hoodie because he owns a warehouse of fashion designers. She hooked up with my boyfriend sophomore year and her current husband was like, Brie, tell me they hooked up. I know that you know. You'll tell me the truth. They're about to get married. And I said, no, they never hooked up. So I was like, I'm not going to ruin your wedding.
No.
Who cares if they hooked up?
No.
But when they hooked up,
it's not going to change anything.
Can I tell you what I did when I found out they hooked up?
What?
I took his Family Guy DVD and I
And you smashed it?
A Family Guy. Who fucking cares about a Family Guy DVD?
Wait, that's so mean to do though. My dad, when we got in like the biggest fight ever when I was in high school, took my Into the Wild. Oh, Brie just threw my vape back at me and it landed on the floor.
It went like 1,000 miles past Katie.
It's fine. I don't need to vape anymore right now. My dad, when we got in a huge fight, took my Into the Wild DVD, which was my most prized possession. Into the Wild was my favorite fucking movie, and say what you will, but that is a beautiful film with one of the best original soundtracks of all time. Into the Wild, Sean Penn directed
it.
He took it and right in front of my face broke it in half. I was like, what?
Your dad did that. Dads do crazy shit to their daughters, but like love their sons. My ex-boyfriend's dad, this is a moment where I knew I couldn't marry him. We were in the, my ex and his mom were fighting in the kitchen, in the dining room because they do.
Yeah.
And I was in the kitchen loading the dishwasher to avoid the fight. And my ex's dad came in the kitchen with me. He goes, I'm sorry about them. You know, it's always been a thing that like they have a wild relationship. And I go, it's okay. You know what they say? Parents love their sons and raise their daughters.
Raise their daughter.
And you know what he said to me? After like he was on like his fifth glass of wine, he goes, well, what'd they do to you?
Oh my God.
Can you believe that? I mean, I can, but also like. And so I told him, I was like, your dad said this to me. It's those cutting
questions.
And he was like, I was like, you need to tell your dad that he said that to me. He doesn't know, he was wasted. And he was like, I'm not going to tell my dad that. He's an alcoholic and like, it's unspoken. And I was like, fuck that. Like, you want me to live with you and fuck you after that?
No way, sir.
No way, bro. Last night I saw that my ex announced on Instagram that he's moving in with his new girlfriend. And it was late at night, so all my friends were sleeping, and I just like had to seethe on my own. Like, God bless. Like, I check everyone's astrology in my life, and I check his astrology, and I know that like he's very much in love with this girl only through astrology. But I'm just like, damn, like I have to go get like my cervix removed and like dealing with like the miscarriage of our relationship and all the things.
Yeah.
And you guys just move on with your like drunk dad and your new girlfriend who's so cool and chill. And like, I'm not chill. Like, I might be cool, but I'm not chill. Like,
right.
Like, God bless that you found someone perfect. But like, it just annoyed the fuck
out of me.
I'm
so chill. Call me. No, I'm kidding. yeah, no, I'm not either. I'm not chill either. And, you know, the only thing we can say if we're going to be Buddhist about it is, it's a blessing.
It's lucky a blessing. You. Like, I want everyone to be loved. If everyone was loved, this world would be so amazing.
And how lucky are we? We get to love ourselves.
And like, right. And my life without him is way better, but I'm just a little jealous.
The moment of comparison that comes after realizing that somebody that like shit didn't work out with, whether it was traumatic or not or whatever, is moving on in a direction that seems peaceful, is like so jarring because you're jarring. Like, oh, I get it. I'm not peaceful. Yes, and this Katie. Is like, Katie. That's how it feels.
That's how I felt. That's
it's
how
like
I
your
felt.
Life with me was not peaceful. And now you're in your peaceful life. And like, you probably sit and pontificate about how like, wow, I was in a crazy time. I remember saying this one time to someone on a train. I was like, you know, it's really hard. I was coming out of a weird college relationship, and I said, you know, it's really hard to recognize that you were a part of a time in someone's life that they look back on or like shit was wild then. It's hard to realize that because it's like makes it feel like your fault that you're alone.
I'm not alone. I'm with
so not alone. I'm gonna find my babe. What's
but up? I'm in a much different situation, but I know that he's more peaceful not being with me, and I know that I'm not peaceful for him, and I know that I'm not peaceful for a lot of people, right?
Cue like, Taylor Swift. Would it be enough if I could never give you peace? My friend Anna and I always play that song.
Oh, wait, listen. No, it's would it be enough
if I could never give you.
Like, I just
the,
but like,
but if you stand, the
it's
rain
why
is always
I can't
gonna
date
come.
People my own age. He is a good example of why I can't date people my own age.
I know. I feel the way, like, I've been having all of these revelations about the partner that I need. And like, one of the things that I was thinking, and I'm sure you'll relate to this, is that I really do, for all of my talk about like, I want just like a douchey, elegantly preppy, like guy who makes a lot of money and like comes home to me at night. Like, I really do want to be with someone who's an artist or who like so deeply appreciates art that it has to be a part of their job in some way. Like,
I don't know that I can really relate to not integrating that part of me. Like, I have always either had service jobs or jobs that I hate and then been pursuing some kind of art on the side. And like, the fact that I have a job now that integrates it, and the fact that I get to do a podcast with somebody else who like really appreciates art and politics, or anti-politics, is like, it's so essential to me. Like, my prayer at night is like, please God, like, let me, I hope I find someone who loves me, loves their family, and loves the art that they create, like, right, in some capacity, whatever it is. And right, that can mean so many different things, but like, that's really important to me.
It's really important. And one of the last fights that he and I got into, right around the time when his dad said that crazy shit to me, we like got back from partying all night. I remember exactly where he was standing and where I was squatting.
Squatting.
I was like taking my shoes off, and he was like, how come whenever we go out, everyone asks about your writing, but no one asks about my art?
Oh, I remember this. And you were like, because you're not good at it.
I said, be better. What do you want me to do? Be worse?
Yeah.
And it's like such a fucking evil thing for me to say.
No,
and
it's not. It's true.
But I'm sure when, in his memory, it like it slit his throat.
No, yeah.
But like for me, it was like, I'm so ambitious that sometimes it's blinding. And I'm so, and like sometimes I like lose touch with reality because I'm so upset. Like when we first started this podcast, I would just put a microphone in front of you in the middle of dinner and be like, start fucking talking. And you'd be like, you're evil. And I'd be like, no, I care about this. And I know that you're supposed to care about it. I just have a feeling.
Yeah.
And like, I can't be with someone who can't laugh it off that I'm like this.
No, totally. And it's an ambition combined with like, it's essential to who you are.
Right.
So like, not showing up for life. Like, I can't relate to those people who are like, I feel like part of me lives here and part of me lives there. I'm just fully all of it all at once. And like, I'm always going to have a weird job because of it.
Yes.
I'm always going to be like, and people will step back and be like, you're not making as much money as me. You're not doing this, not doing that. So you must be unhappy in some way. And I'm like, I'm not unhappy. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I'm stressed out because I'm trying to make ends meet. But actually, if we're like, I'm doing things on a daily basis that somehow fulfill me in a deeper way than maybe you'll ever be fulfilled.
Right.
Wow. That's a little harsh, but.
No, it's not harsh, Katie. Like, you don't talk about your job, and I understand there's 1,000 reasons why you don't, but like, your job is as important as a nurse or a doctor or a surgeon. I really believe that. And I wouldn't change. Even though it would perhaps serve me if you did, I wouldn't change your day to day.
Thank you. I would, but no, I'm kidding. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Like, I really wouldn't. And I've definitely manifested that in like the way that I show up for my life. But it is
like everyone else who majors in poetry works at, you know, Walmart,
a coffee shop, and lives with their parents.
Like, you're probably the only person on earth who majored in poetry and then like got to like use it.
Teach writing. I know. It is insane. But yeah, I definitely need to be with someone who appreciates that. But I also need to be with someone who like does all these practical things for me. Like, I need like someone who's like, I'm gonna take care. I really like notoriously don't ask for help. And so like, I make everything look really pretty in my life. But like, actually, I like, I'm dying for someone to be like, I'll make dinner, or like, I'll like fold the laundry. If you bring it to the laundromat when we get home, I'll fold it for you. Like, my Venus is in Virgo, like at the end of the day. And like, I have a complication with, sorry to get really astrology on everyone's asses, but like, I have a complication because like, my Mars is in Scorpio. So the way that I perceive attraction is very taboo and like, just like overtly sexual and challenging, like someone should challenge me. But love and sex are two separate things that should be integrated, and mine are so opposite that it's very difficult for me to understand like I actually do want someone that I can just like, who can just like sit, make me dinner, and then like watch me shovel it down my throat while I'm like opening a Zoom or something and like finishing stuff. And like, I'm like shoveling food down and they'll just be like, yeah, yeah, that's her.
That's possible. That's real.
Yeah. Anyway, thinking a lot about love because I watched the Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward doc, and like they're just like the emblem of an artistic couple, like both like the king and queen of old Hollywood. Mm. And they were both artists and they had a really tumultuous relationship because any two artists together, they will. Mm. And also Paul Newman was so incredibly deeply hot physically. And Joanne Woodward, I find her to be really hot, but like she wasn't on the surface that attractive, mm-hmm. but she was like so deeply attractive as a person, mm-hmm. And like, but didn't look like Grace Kelly, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like a lot of people are like, why is he with her? But it was obvious. It's like, 'cause she's so deeply talented. And like, this is what I wish for us, is that not that, 'cause we're actually beautiful as well. So I understand it can be intimidating, but like just for someone to be like, wow, I just admire you. That's how he felt about her, was like he just deeply admired her, and she made him want to be a successful actor because he just so deeply admired her artistic abilities. And like that, just watching it brings me to tears. I'm like, that's all I fucking want. Mm. But also, can you cook too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to always cook.
No.
Yeah, the soundtrack, or not on the soundtrack, but at least in the promotional material for the Paul Newman doc, is Beautiful People with Beautiful Problems. Lana Del Rey, Stevie Nicks sings on the track. Lana could not be more perfect for that story because she's so old Hollywood. Like,
yeah,
worship the old world for all of its glory. And like, why are we trying? Like, she came on the scene and was like, yeah, I'm just a
in love with Harvey Weinstein.
Feminine woman,
yeah,
who loves masculinity.
Yeah.
What of it?
Like the fact that like when I listened to Lana's last album, Blue Bannisters, and even what was the one right before that?
Oh, it was
before Norman after Norman fucking Rockwell.
Wait, so it was the one that Dance Till We Die is on?
Yeah.
What is it called?
The blue background on the
Wait,
art.
Dance Till We Die is Chemtrails Over the Country Club.
There's just so much Harvey Weinstein. And
such a good name.
All that Chemtrails she puts
Over
out.
The Country Club. Ugh. Yeah, there's so much Harvey.
And people don't talk about it enough. But the thing is that she was into it. It was very consensual and it tickled her.
Yeah.
And why can't we celebrate that for her?
Because we're incapable as a society of not clinging to polarizing like one side or the other views. And like Lana like is now becoming I have worshipped her since
day one
2011 when mm-hmm. like it, I first heard video games in my high school bedroom on Adderall. And like I just don't – I've always fucking worshipped her. But now luckily – she's having so many more people like you don't have to qualify why you love Lana Del Rey anymore. And like you used to have to qualify it hardcore. Like I showed up to college with a few things in tow and a couple of those things were giant Lana Del Rey posters that my dad had printed for me at his advertising
so
agency.
Kind.
Like he had some poor like God, the assistant that had to print those. But because like I know my dad wasn't standing over the printer, but like some woman like me is like I'm an assistant. So it's like some woman like me was standing over that printer as a naked photo of Lana Del Rey with a diamond in her mouth was printed.
And just like jealous that her dad doesn't do that.
Yeah. And my dad just kind of is like such a Capricorn, just brought them home and was like, here, I printed your posters. And like, Dad, do you know this is Lana Del Rey naked with a boa on her and a diamond in her mouth? And this is what I'm hanging over my bed.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I see that. And okay.
My first intro to Lana Del Rey was through my friend Liz.
Yeah.
My first romantic partner in life. And because Lana's real name is Lizzie Grant and Liz's real name is Liz. And she would call herself Lizzie Grant. And she's like, yeah. This is girl Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
And but I don't want to admit this, but I would never want to lie on Lana. I didn't discover her until the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I would sit in my hammock hysterically crying with a jewel in my mouth.
Listening to Norman fucking Rockwell.
And
I love that you thought, because, and this is good, and this, I affirm this, you were like, I was like, wait, you know that album? I was saying, oh, this album reminds me of so-and-so who I was dating in 2019. You were like, wait, Norman fucking Rockwell came out in 2019? And I was like, yes. And
I thought, like, I came out the first
time. My world is shattered. And I was like, no, Lana just predicts life like that. Like, because it's such a dystopian album about, like, the greatest is literally a 2020 record, but, like, or single or whatever. But it's, but she wrote it in, like, 2018 probably.
I know she's must have a lot of Aquarius in her chart because she's very forward thinking, but
she is.
I was
but a Cancer. That's why she's a sweet feminine soul.
It's so much delicate.
Yeah, delicate. Delicacy.
I won't go into who I was thinking about. Maybe I should, but
you should.
I was dating someone we've referred to before on this podcast as the boss.
I love that.
And
Lana would die.
She
has that song, "You Can Be the Boss, Daddy, You Can Be the Boss. Tastes like a keg party down at the sauce. Like you a lot."
Yeah, that wasn't, it's not as
best. You Can Be the Boss, it's called.
He's way more depressing than that.
Yeah. But also not.
He immigrated to America when he was 19. I mean, he like had a lot of time in America before he officially moved here. But he's tortured is my point.
Yeah.
And he got me an apartment across the street from his bodega that he owns.
Yeah.
And I thought we were going to be together forever. And it like absolutely was not that. And then like he was all like our relationship hit a peak during the pandemic and he was being incredibly emotionally abusive. And I thought nothing of it because it was the world was ending. And I thought everything was supposed to feel bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like listening to Lana. I would be in the hammock listening to Lana and he would be partying at the hotel next door.
Yeah.
So there'd just be a fence between the two of us and I would hear him with other people partying.
This is a perfect time to discover Lana.
Yeah. And I remember he like wanted me to lose weight. He thought I was overweight. I didn't know my food allergies. I wasn't in perfect shape. Some people wouldn't give a fuck. He's very shallow.
Yeah.
And it was just torture to hear him at this pool that no one was allowed to go to unless you knew the owner of this hotel and listen to this song and be like, I want to party with you. I just want to come party with you because the world's ending. And I'm not allowed to party with you because you think I'm fat. So I'm going to like lay on this hammock.
It's so funny because, I mean, I really identify like when I first heard Lana, I was like 18, 17, 18. And I was, like, as I still am, in love with all the wrong men, but also, like, savoring that pain and, like, the longing, which is, like, what a poet should do, and it's what Lana did. And it, like, her whole, like, she shaped, she got me through and supported that, like, was compassionate toward the way I was already feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was already feeling that I was already going to be wallowing in like whatever that feeling was. But Lana really told me like, like be resigned, be beautiful, be angelic in this darkness and like all will be well.
And I believe that. I believe that if you act graceful, even when you're in a million pieces.
Totally.
That it's way better.
And admit that you like the million pieces because that's what Lana's all about. Being like, shit is shattered. I love it.
But like, allow yourself to be shattered with your close friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't make your close friends wait 5 years for you to know that you're shattered.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I have friends like that, and I'm, like, exhausted.
Yeah, that is exhausting. Shall we just go and listen to Lana for the rest of the night?
Should we?
Yeah, we love you guys. We recommend Beautiful People with Beautiful Problems right now.